All right, well, welcome everybody. We're back. This is episode 3 of the still yet to be named CrossFit Austin podcast. I'm here, Wes, and then we've got Coach Aaron here as well.
How's it going?
We do have a little bit of headway on the name, or we've got a nomination, right?
So far, I think it's Under the Bar, Thomas.
Under the Bar, Coach Lower, Coach Thomas, our new coach. That was his suggestion for a podcast name. So drop us a note in the comments if you guys like that one. Or we can just keep on going with the unnamed podcast. We're open for anything. Aaron, do you have anything that's going on right now? You got a... How are you guys over in New Zealand doing?
Doing good, picking up some more athletes, so I'm excited about that. And it's off season, so now start building up with the athletes here and overseas.
Yeah, and tell us, Aaron, you had one of your athletes that won a couple triathlons, is that right?
Yeah, Josh Merrick, trains up in Colorado, just started going professional in the Xterra division there, and came away with a win in New Mexico, Four Corners, and then went to Moab and won the professional event there too. So probably should have made the jump to Xterra a long time ago. So it's okay. Good.
Yeah, and Xterra, is that that's a higher level of triathlon?
Xterra is like the off-road triathlon. So instead of being on the road, it's mountain biking. They obviously the swim, the mountain bike, and then the run is a trail run instead of a flat run on pavement. So
right on, very cool. Well. Let's see what else is going on here in the gym. We got Murph Day coming up. So it's our annual fundraiser that we do for the Navy SEAL Foundation. It's actually going to be our fifth Murph. We've done it every year. We started out with Windy City. So definitely get in there and get signed up for that. We'll have a good time on Saturday morning, the 6th, June 6th is when we're going to do that, or July 6th, excuse me. Everybody get all their good, fun 4th of July festivities in on Thursday and Friday, and then we'll get back to work early in the morning on the 6th there. So, that's the big things coming up here at CrossFit Austin. We're super excited today. We've got our first guest that is actually not an employee or a coach at CrossFit Austin. So Aaron was our first guest ever, and then Coach Thomas, last week we introduced you to him. He was our second guest, and he had a really good snatch session. I hope you guys all enjoyed the skill session last Saturday. We had a good turnout for that. I think there's about 18 folks that went through a snatch skill session with Coach Thomas. And so today we have Amy Kubal. Did I say that right, Amy Kubal?
Right enough, man. That works for me.
Yes, and Amy, she is. She works for She's a part of RobWolf.com, and she's in the paleo nutrition world. She's a nutritionist here in town, and we're gonna try to tackle some kind of common nutritional questions that we have. So, Amy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I do think you need a name, though. I like Under the Bar, but I think maybe Better Than Burpees.
The Better Than Burpee podcast?
Yeah.
Very good. I like that. I like that. See, this is crowdsourcing at its best. I like that. That's a good one. So, Amy, tell the listeners here, give us a little rundown. You have just recently moved down to Austin in the past year. So give us a little bit of a rundown of, what brought you down here to Austin and what you've been doing.
Okay. So, I am originally from South Dakota, and I went to school in Colorado and lived out there for a while and ended up back in South Dakota. And I was there for about 3 years and decided that I needed to get the heck out of South Dakota again. So Austin looked good to me, so here I am, and that's how I got here. Right now I consult for RobWolf.com and work with Rob and Nikki, and I also do some consulting with Whole Nine and Eva T., if you guys are familiar with Eva.
I am. That's old school right there, Eva T.
Yeah. So, love that girl.
Yeah.
And and then also the Training Bible Coaching for endurance athletes. So I write for Paleo Magazine and have done some other random writing from time to time. And yeah, now I'm just kicking it in Austin.
Very cool. Very cool. So, how did you get started with Rob and kind of in this whole paleo sphere in terms of the writing and the nutrition consulting?
Okay, so it's kind of a long story. Rob and I go way back. I was far from paleo when I graduated college and even my first probably 5 years of practicing as a dietitian. I was actually at an Air Force base in South Dakota, Ellsworth, and working there. And the major in our flight was really into CrossFit and paleo, and I was like, you're going to die, man, because you eat so much butter and eggs and like fat, and I'm like chomping on my bagel and yeasty goodness, things of that nature, carbs. I was an endurance athlete, so I thought I needed all that kind of stuff. And Major Jones, he just kept pestering me about it, and he'd send me links to websites and studies. And so I'm like, on a whim, this was when Rob was still with CrossFit. I sent him an email and basically said, okay, so I'm intrigued by this, but I think it's a bunch of BS, basically. I'm an endurance athlete. I don't think I could fuel on paleo. How come whole grains aren't good? You know, I totally did that whole ignorant, stupid dietitian thing. And he emails me back, and basically he's like, I'm not gonna, you know, argue with you. I think you need to get your head out of your ass. And if you'd like to come to one of my certs, it's on me. He sent me all his materials and stuff, and I looked over all the materials, and I'm like, all right, so I'm going to show this guy that this is a bunch of crap. And I had a marathon about 6 months from the time that this all went down, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to fail at this marathon on paleo and show him that this doesn't work. I ended up winning the Wyoming marathon that year.
Oh, wow.
The rest is kind of history. I started consulting on my own, and he would give me some referrals, hooked me up with Joe Friel of the Training Bible Coaching, and I got started with him. And then once Rob broke the CrossFit, stopped working with CrossFit and started his own site, he asked if I wanted to be his dietitian consultant and run the RD network on that side of things. And I was like, does a why eat shit? And so the rest is history.
That's very interesting. So you got both your degrees, your bachelor's and your master's from Colorado State. Now, did you work with Lauren Cordain there at all, or was that kind of out of your sphere?
Yeah, he was one of my professors. And during my master's time there, I definitely knew him. People in the nutrition department, everybody thought Lauren was a little off his rocker because of the paleo thing. Because, you know, it wasn't a commonly accepted thing there, and I just remember the professors, oh, Lauren's at it again. And now, like, having met Lauren after that, and I actually just finished writing an article with him and Nell Stevenson for Paleo Magazine, I'm like, man, I was so close to this guy, and I thought he was such a, I didn't think he knew anything because of what the general perception in from my department was. And now it's like, wow, dang.
Yeah, really full circle there. Yeah, and for the listeners that aren't familiar, so Lauren Cordain was is the author of the original paleo diet. So he's kind of the forefather of the whole paleo nutrition movement. And he's a a professor there at Colorado State University. So yeah, that's interesting. And it's funny how things just kind of work out in life, right? So somebody that you didn't even realize that you would have a tremendous amount of respect with, you now get to work with them, right?
Right, exactly. It's awesome.
Yeah, nice. Very cool. Very cool. So, so now I guess just in terms of Rob Wolf's team, are you guys all over the place? You know, you live in Austin. I know Rob lives in Reno. How does that work in terms of the team kind of working out there for everybody?
Yeah, we are all over the place. Swatchy's in South Carolina, and Amber is, I believe she's in, I'm probably going to get this wrong, Georgia or Pennsylvania, somewhere up there right now. So, yeah, we're all over. And, you know, like, we phone and email is our primary way of contact, and it works. It works.
Yeah. Very nice. Very nice. So now that you're down here in Austin, so give us a little bit of an idea. Is everything that you do, have you done anything in the local scene here, or is it primarily kind of through the interwebs?
Well, I haven't gotten, I've had a few local clients, and I want to grow that more, and do some work with the gyms in Austin and just have a presence here. But I haven't got to that point yet. I've only been here since December, and I helped a lot with the organization of Paleo FX this year. So that's been kind of a time suck. And now I just moved again. So I'm in Austin proper now. And
oh, okay.
I'm just trying to get everything kind of, you know, get my poop in a group, and then I'm ready to rock.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, very cool. I think that gives everybody a good idea kind of what you're all about. So the big thing was we wanted to kind of bring you on today and just pick your brain a little bit on this whole kind of paleo nutrition for different goals, for different specific things for people, and how, you know, how people can kind of put themselves on the right path and set some goals for themselves and create some kind of nutritional framework around that. So the big thing that I think everybody is always looking for when they walk through the door, whether it probably be your door or through our doors at a gym, is everybody's looking to lean up, right? To try to lose fat. So just kind of take us through your philosophy a little bit in terms of a fat loss protocol or framework for someone.
You know, it really depends on the individual and where they're at, how far they have to go, mm-hmm. what their training looks like, and where they're at now. Like if they come to me paleo and just need a few tweaks here and there, then that's one thing. If they come to me straight from McDonald's, then that's a whole nother deal. So I really tailor everything to the individual that I'm working with. It's not like meal plan in a can,
right?
Type thing. What I say for the most part for people that are looking to lean out is things that are going to get you in trouble the fastest are the gateway foods. Anything that has been paleo-fied, like I call it, paleo muffins, paleo pancakes, paleo cake, bars, all those paleo dessert type things. That's not paleo. It's using foods that are paleo in nature. But I'm telling you right now that the cavemen were not grinding up almonds and making flour out of it. And like nuts in and of themselves. Tell me you couldn't sit down and eat like 2 cups of nuts and not even think twice about it.
3 cups. I'll see your 2 and I'll raise you 1. I could eat nuts all day.
Amen. And nut butter. Dude, give me a spoon in a jar and I'll go hide in the corner for a while. it's these highly palatable foods that, oh, it's paleo, so I can eat as much as I want. And that definitely, there is a breaking point for all that stuff. Everybody's like, well, it's not the same. It's you don't have to worry about how many calories it is, or, you know, if it comes from fat and protein, you can eat as much as you want. And no, there is a point where there is too much of a good thing. And that's drinking a can of coconut milk a day is probably not going to help your progress forward. And dry fruit and trail mix and all that kind of stuff. That's where I see people get in the most trouble, is they think they're eating paleo, but their fat is way, way, way too high, or they're eating tons of nuts and dried fruit and snacky type things. And, you know, ultimately, eat when you're hungry, stop when you're full works, but we're so out of tune with our hunger fullness cues that it doesn't work anymore. We're going to eat just because it's there, and we're going to eat until it's gone. And we're going to eat because it's noon. We're going to eat because it's 3 o'clock. We're going to eat because it's 6 o'clock. And then, oh, it's 8 o'clock and I'm watching TV and I want to eat again. There's no, you know, we don't listen to our bodies anymore. And that also gets people in a lot of trouble. And then, when like, I know you're in a CrossFit gym, so yeah, those workouts are tough, but how long are you actually doing that tough workout? How long is that WOD? Is it 15 minutes, 20 minutes? And does that really justify that 300 or 400 calorie post-workout bar or shake that you're downing? You know, it's like, sometimes I think if you're sitting in an office all day and you do that one workout and then you sit down again, you're not moving forward. That one workout isn't going to use all that food that you're eating, that you're thinking you're fueling with. You didn't work that hard. I'm sorry. I hate to burst your bubble, but there's a fine line between, and portion sizing too is big. So nuts, portion sizes, protein drinks and bars and shakes and that kind of stuff. And fruit also gets people in trouble. I see a lot of people that don't eat fruit or don't eat vegetables and instead eat fruit. That's one of my major rules. Never replace vegetables with fruit.
Gotcha.
And vegetables are your friends. In a best case scenario, you'll concentrate your carb intake into that 30 to 45 minute post workout period, when your body needs it the most, and not be having fruit with breakfast and sweet potato at lunch and acorn squash for dinner, or, you know, like, and then having some dark chocolate and nuts for a snack instead of carbs all day. And yes, nuts have carbs. Carbs all day, you concentrate into that post-workout period when your body can handle it the most. All right, how was that for a major spiel at really?
I like it. Amy, I work with some female clients that, you know, come in here quite often. They are looking to lean out. And sometimes, you know, you mentioned calories in and kind of calories out, in a sense where that maybe that workout might not do enough to burn off what they're eating. It seems that, like, though, now they come in, at least the majority of my clients that come in, thinking that calorie restriction is the way to go. And sometimes they might be operating just in the past, maybe like 800 calories, 900 calories. And honestly, it seems like their body's maybe going through a little bit of a shutdown. And sometimes I struggle, I guess, kind of relaying to them that actually eating more will, you know, get them to the point where they actually lose, more fat. Is that something that, I guess your opinion, is it always calorie restriction? Is it eating clean? I mean, I guess, what's your take on that?
Oh, calorie restriction? No, now I'm not saying that what I do is calorie restriction. It's just not a free-for-all, basically. You know, definitely, no. And I see that with a lot of women, especially that are already trying to do paleo. Oh, let's skip breakfast, so let's do this intermittent fasting thing. And then, I don't need this here, that, there. And yeah, they come in at about 800 calories a day, and you're just like, oh, no wonder you're not moving. You're not eating anything. Or they're eating the same things over and over. It becomes like that bodybuilder mentality kind of thing. Chicken breast and broccoli, chicken breast and broccoli, chicken breast and broccoli. Mm. And your body needs more than that if you want it to function well. So, yeah, you definitely have to eat enough to fuel your activity and to fuel your body. And, like, what I recommend is, you know, don't mess around with all this fancy intermittent fasting, carb backloading, carb cycling, all that stuff until you have tried just the general template. 3 meals a day, protein, veggies, fat, some post-workout carbs, and make sure you're getting enough, but not too much. Eat when you're hungry, stop when you're full, and don't stress about it. And a lot of times that's all it takes. You don't need to mess around with that crazy stuff. And another thing for a lot of people in today's world is stress and sleep. If your sleep is off and your stress level is high, getting lean is going to be next to impossible. And that's what people don't understand either, is that, oh, well, I'm eating well and everything. Why? Can't I tweak something in my diet? And sometimes when your diet is perfect, that means there's something deeper going on if you're not seeing the results that you want.
Thank you. When I see you, I'm probably going to give you a big hug, and you don't even know me from Adam, but I'm going to definitely hug you for saying that. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Hey, I'm an equal opportunity hugger. As long as you don't smell funky. Or...
For sure.
Yeah, that's. I think it's all interesting. I think a big part that a big part of what people don't realize as they go into something is that they see successes and then they get emotional attachments to things. And so whether it be a style of eating or a style of working out, you work yourself into a point where you make your decisions on the emotions instead of the cold hard facts, if you will. So it's always a challenge working people into the right, whether it be from a training side with us or from a nutritional side with you, of doing things that are specific more to their goals, not what they see on the internet or what they think they should be able to do or what somebody else has done.
Amen. And just giving things a chance to work instead of switching every 2 days, like, oh, I gained half a pound, this isn't working, we need to change something. That is like one of my biggest pet peeves. It's like, if you don't give me at least 2 to 3 weeks, then you can't expect things to change that quickly. It's like with working out, your body fat percentages don't change. You know, you can measure them every day, but ultimately they're not going to change for probably 3 weeks. You won't be able to see, you know, in a caliper test, a major change. And, you know, like what I tell people with the scale is, give that piece of crap to your worst enemy. because it's just not a good way to monitor your progress. It changes with so many things. And why should a number decide how you're going to feel today?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, so moving from that, you know, another big thing that I see is I see folks that, you know, struggle with fueling their efforts. You kind of touched on that a little bit. Whether it be some of our hard charging CrossFit actual competitive athletes or, or somebody that's going through like a strength program, do you try to tailor your approach from a nutrition side to the activity or the given sport or activity they're doing?
Oh yes, definitely, definitely. What I do for my triathletes and what I do for my CrossFit athletes looks totally different, and what I do for my people that aren't working out at all looks way different from what I do for my athletes. And you know, depending on what your goal is too. Like if I have somebody training for the games, that's going to look a lot different than Joe who does CrossFit after work. You know, and if you want to increase strength or are you looking to increase endurance, you know, there's tweaks that for every one of those things. And then I based it too off how you feel. How are your recoveries feeling? How do you feel during the workout? What's hard? What's easy? And go and base it off that. Everything is very much individual, and that's another one of my pet peeves. That's all I have is pet peeves, right? and I hate that term too, so I'm not going to say it anymore. Is that people think, oh, well, it works for them, so it's going to work for me. I just have to do exactly what they're doing. And you're not them. You know, like, you're not them, and your body is different. So just because it works for Larry doesn't mean it's going to work for Cindy. And, I mean, that's a man and a woman difference, but still, that women are trying what men are doing, and men are trying some of the things that women are doing. And, you know, ultimately, you have to figure out what's right for your body.
Gotcha.
Amy, like, you know, you mentioned working with endurance athletes and stuff like that. I come from an endurance background, being a runner pretty much all my life. It seems now that we have, you know, some of the, I guess you would say, some of the experts in the running, I guess, industry or business or community, like Professor Noakes is now going to this, you know, almost paleo-like for a lot of his athletes, or that's what he's recommending. Tell me a little bit about that, especially some of the stuff you've seen with, you know, fueling for stuff like that, just going off the paleo diet.
Oh, it definitely, I've seen major improvements in my athletes with the way they feel on it and the way that they perform and just being more happy with the foods that they're eating. It's just all about timing for them, you know, like that recovery meal is so important. And if you're doing that long duration stuff, fueling during that stuff is important too. You never want to work yourself into a hole and then have to dig yourself out of that hole. Now, there's no need to top yourself off, you know, like carb load, but just never let yourself get into that deficit. And like my triathletes and marathoners and stuff, they feel so much better, and it's amazing because a lot of them go into it, oh, this isn't gonna work, I'm gonna bonk, and it's gonna be terrible, and I need my Cliff Bar and my goo, and no, you really don't, and real food is very powerful if you use it correctly.
If you don't mind me asking, what are you suggesting? To refuel during some of those events, you know, I mean, I've heard different nutritionists, you know, kind of weighing out grams to about 60 grams per hour or stuff like that. And granted, they're probably getting that through a sports drink or, like you said, a goo or stuff like that. I guess, what are some of your suggestions?
You know, again, it's very individual. I say, like, if it's a shorter event, like you're doing something 10K-ish, that probably doesn't require anything, but know, like a sprint triathlon, things of that nature, you can fuel primarily on carbohydrate because it's short and you're done before you're completely tapped out. And as your event gets longer, you start adding protein in, and I suggest doing that. The easiest way to do that is in the form of a sports drink. And there are some good ones out there. Has one called Driven that I like, and then you can also make your own little hybrid sports drink with coconut water, a little bit of protein powder, and a pinch of salt, and call that, you know, a protein added. And then, like, if you're doing some of those ultra-endurance crazy stuff, then you're going to want to start adding some fat in there, too, to help satiate you and to stop that constant blood sugar up-down, 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 that results in bonking at the end. Things that I suggest that my athletes use during those events is, like, instead of goos and gels, packets of baby food sweet potatoes or butternut squash, they squeeze out just like gels, and they taste a whole heck of a lot better. That's all I have to say about that. And as far as, like, how much grams, that sort of thing, you know, you don't want to overdo it, and you don't want to underdo it. So I say you never want to get over 150 to 250 calories per hour. And like I said, if it's a shorter event, focus primarily on carbs. As it becomes longer, add some protein in there and do what feels good for your body. I'm not going to make you eat something during your race that sounds absolutely terrible to you. That's not going to work. You know, if it's going to make you sick, don't do it. And there are some products out there that can work, water bars, AMRAP bars. I have some recipes that I give my clients, paleo power balls, I call them, and different things. Some of my bikers use jerky. It's just very much now Epic bars are awesome for a protein type bar. There's all kinds of fun stuff you can do.
Awesome, great.
Yeah, I think a common misconception, and maybe you can speak on this a little bit, is that the paleo, and I really call it a paleo framework because it really is just kind of an outline for what I think is common sense, you know, eating, is a low carb or a very low carb approach. But when you have an athlete or a person that is in that kind of realm where it's, whether it's an endurance race or a hard charge in somebody that's going at it a couple times a day or six or seven times a week in the gym, I mean, you definitely don't want to take people down to the super low carb range. Is that, am I correct on that, or is, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, that's how I have seen. I mean, some people can run on that pretty well. I know Ben Greenfield, he's a endurance triathlete, and he has done the really low carb thing. And you know, maybe if you're, after your body is adapted to that, you can run on that. Endurance activities are, you know, once you teach your body to run on fat, they're pretty good at going there. As an example, one of the races that I ran, it was a 27.3 trail race, and like 6,000 feet of vertical gain. And all I ate, it took me 5 hours and 13 minutes to run. And all I ate during that race was one clementine.
Oh, wow.
Tiny little oranges. And I was fine. And I didn't want anything. I was like, okay, I'm good. And my body just ran on what it had. And I'm not a big girl. So it's not like I've got a ton of fat stores for it to draw on, but I'm good at, my body just goes there because it's trained to go there. Now, when I first adapt a lot of my athletes to paleo, oh good Lord, those first couple of weeks are like, I think they all want to kill me. I'm glad that we're distanced, honestly, in some of the cases. Like, okay, yep, you're going to hit that wall. And I mean, I warn them that it's coming, but I don't, and it hits my women a lot harder than my men, it seems. But if you make it, if you can power through that hard part, life is good after that. So that's what I tell them. I'm like, just give me another week. Give me another week. Hang in there. And if they do, you know, great. If not, we start over and we try it again.
Nice. Very nice. Well, I know we kind of have to get things wrapped up here pretty quick. I like to leave our folks with something that they can take away with. So if you were to just take somebody that's you know, your everyday Joe that's coming in, they're hitting their CrossFit workout about 4 or 5 times a week, and they're trying to you know, trying to lose a little bit of weight, lean out, look good. What's some like 3 big rocks that you really try to hammer home with people that they could take back with them today and say, hey, I can make this little change and start moving in the right direction?
Okay. First and foremost, you cannot out-train a crappy diet. So CrossFit all you want, if you're not eating right at home, your client don't expect to see results, okay?
Yeah.
That's my first one. The second one would be focus on real food. If it lives, rots, grows, and dies, it's probably good to go. If it can live in a package on your shelf for an unspecified amount of time and has an ingredient list longer than your arm, that's probably something you don't want to be putting in your body. And stay hydrated, make sure you're sleeping, don't stress, and don't quit. Every meal is not going to be a perfect meal, but that doesn't mean that the whole day needs to be thrown away or the whole weekend. No more, oh, we'll start again on Monday. No, start again on the next meal. Your next meal is your next opportunity for a perfect meal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's great. I think that last one is, I think we can all take that to heart and put that to use for sure.
You just called me out. I'm definitely a Monday guy.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Well, Amy, thank you so much for joining us. How can people get more stuff from you or find out or work with you? What's kind of the setup for you?
Okay, so I email is great. My email is amyk.rd@gmail.com. I am on Twitter. It's at amykrd is my Twitter handle. You can find me on Facebook. I'm on Rob's site under the services. And you can just let Wes or Tristy, I know Tristy, so let them know. And I'm here if you need anything.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Amy, and looking forward. Hopefully you'll join us again in the future, right?
Heck yeah.
All right. You're number one. You're the number one, the first guest, non-coaching guest. So you'll live in infamy forever.
We're setting the bar low.
All right, Amy. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Amy.
Bye. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
All right. Thanks, guys.